The day turns tight before it even starts. Fluorescent lights buzz overhead in the lower washroom, and the accountant stares at the test strip on the counter. The second line holds steady. The air feels thin. She knows the building better than most, but there is nowhere in it to hide a truth like this. Not when the father runs her department. Not when he warned her about letting anything slip. Upstairs, printers jam, tempers rise, and the office hum carries a sharp edge. People sense when something is off. They always do. She walks past her coworkers with steady steps, but her chest stays tight. The department head watches her from his doorway. His eyes track her in a way that makes the hallway feel narrow. Before noon hits, she understands one thing clearly. This secret will not survive the day. Chapter 1, The Discovery. The morning sits heavy over the finance wing. The building is cold, and the lights flicker once before settling into their glare. The accountant moves through the hall with her coat still on. She keeps her head down and her pace steady. The lower-level washroom is the one place no one checks this early. She pushes the door open and listens for footsteps. Nothing. She reaches into her bag and sets the test on the counter. Her hands shake once before she forces them still. The strip darkens slow. When the second line holds, her breath breaks. She leans against the sink and closes her eyes. The room hums with old pipes and the faint echo of vents. She knows there is no more hiding from this. Not from herself. Not from him. She wraps the test in tissue and slides it deep into the metal bin. She washes her hands longer than needed. The mirror shows her a tight jaw and eyes that won't stop scanning the room. She leaves the washroom and climbs the stairs to the first floor, keeping her shoulders square even as her stomach twists. The open office spreads out before her, cubicles stacked in gray rows, screens waking up one by one. A few early coworkers glance at her and nod, but she sees the curiosity in their eyes. She walks straight to her desk and sets her bag down. Her inbox already holds overnight messages, budget reports, vendor disputes, an email from the department head with no subject line. Her heart kicks once. She clicks it open. Come see me. She does not move right away. She lines up the pens on her desk to buy a few seconds. Her breath settles. Then she stands and walks toward his office. The hallway feels long. Every step reminds her that the clock is now running. She reaches his door and taps twice. His voice is low, tight. She enters and closes the door behind her. He sits at his desk with his sleeves rolled up. The blinds are half closed. Papers form neat columns around him. He does not smile. You look tired, he says. Rough morning? I'm fine. Her voice stays flat. He watches her for a long moment. His eyes move across her face, then her posture, then back to her face. He knows, or he suspects. She can see the calculation in him. We need to be careful, he says. The quarter audit is coming. People talk more than they work around here. I don't want anything getting out of hand. Nothing is getting out of hand, she says. He stands and closes the blinds the rest of the way. If there is something I need to know, now would be the time, before rumors start. She feels heat rising up her neck. There's nothing to discuss. He steps closer, not touching, just close enough to remind her of the power gap. You understand the pressure on my position. If you slip, even once, the consequences hit both of us, hard. She keeps her stare fixed on the floor behind him. I said I'm fine. He studies her again. The silence stretches, then he nods. Get the payroll adjustments to me before lunch. I'll handle the rest. She turns and leaves the office. Her legs feel unsteady. The hallway looks brighter than before. She sits at her desk and pulls the payroll files up, doing everything she can to focus on numbers. Numbers don't judge. Numbers don't breathe down your neck. They only behave when handled right. A coworker walks by and pauses. You good? He asks. You look like you rushed in. Sumbat, I'm fine, she says again. He shrugs and keeps moving. But she sees him glance back once. The office is full of people who have learned to read trouble. They have seen enough reorganizations and cutbacks to sense when someone is about to break. By mid-morning, she forces herself to breathe steady. She moves through payroll corrections and reconciles two accounts. The routine helps until she opens a file that should not be there. A request for updated insurance verification. It is time-stamped 7:28 a.m. Her hands tighten. If she files new coverage, HR will see the pregnancy within days. The department head knows that. He knows every rule in the book. He knows how to protect himself. He also knows what happens if she refuses the paperwork. She closes the file and locks her screen. She heads to the break room for a cup of water. The air feels thick as more employees show up. She hears two junior analysts arguing about a deadline. Normal noise, but it feels sharper this morning. When she returns to her desk, she sees the department head standing outside his office, talking to a senior manager. He looks calm, controlled, not a trace of worry on his face. He nods at her when their eyes meet, but the gesture carries weight, a silent instruction to stay composed. Before she can settle back into her work, the operations director calls an emergency meeting for late afternoon. There is a problem in the audit trail. Several entries approved outside normal hours. She feels a cold pulse run through her. She approved some of those entries under his direction. Off the clock. The meeting will draw eyes. It will pull old threads loose. It will not stay quiet. As the day wears on, the pressure inside her chest grows. The department head stops by her desk once. "We might have to stay late," he says. "Get ready for a long night." She nods but does not look up. Hours pass. At 4:26 p.m., the audit meeting begins. Everyone files into the conference room. Reports scatter across the table. The operations director asks pointed questions. Eyes shift toward the accountant and the department head more than once. She answers as steady as she can. Dates, times, approvals, nothing emotional, just facts. But she feels her pulse in her throat. The room grows tense when the department head speaks. His answers are cool and sharp. He redirects blame toward process gaps. He never once glances at her. When the meeting ends, she steps into the hallway and exhales. The walls feel closer than before. She reaches for her bag to leave for a moment. She needs air. She needs quiet. She opens the zipper and stops cold. Someone has placed a sealed clinic envelope on top of her documents, the same envelope she hid under cleaning supplies in the lower washroom. She grips the strap of her bag hard enough for her knuckles to ache. The office hums behind her. Someone knows. Chapter 2, The Exposure. The envelope stays in her grip as she walks toward the storage room. The hall feels too loud. Printers fire, phones ring, people talk over each other. Every sound presses against her. She steps inside the storage room and closes the door. The fluorescent bulb hums overhead. She sets the envelope on a low shelf and stares at it. The seal is unbroken. Whoever found it wanted her to know they had it, not to open it. Footsteps approach. She tenses. The door cracks open and a coworker steps inside. He is one of the quiet ones, keeps to himself. He nods at her, then looks at the envelope. "I found it downstairs," he says. "Thought you might want it before someone else did." Her throat tightens. "Where exactly?" "Lower washroom, near the maintenance cart." He watches her close. "You drop something personal. It happens." "It's nothing," she says. He lifts an eyebrow. "Sure, but people are already talking." She freezes. He sees it. His tone shifts. "Look, I don't need to know anything, but you should be careful. That place is a rumor factory." She picks up the envelope. "Thanks." He gives a slow nod and leaves. She stays in the storage room a few more seconds. The air feels stale. Her pulse runs hard. If he found it, anyone could have. If anyone could have, someone already did. She slides the envelope back into her bag and leaves the room. By mid-morning, whispers drift across the floor. They start soft, a look here, a pause there. She hears her name once when she walks past two analysts. They fall silent as soon as they see her. She sits at her desk and tries to steady herself with routine, journal entries, invoice corrections, payroll checks. But the rhythm breaks every few minutes as she catches a glance thrown her way. Not harsh, curious, searching. The department head appears near her desk. His tie is loose, his jaw set. "Walk with me," he says. She follows him to a narrow hallway near the supply cages. He lowers his voice. "Someone knows something. I can feel it." She keeps her stare on him. "What do you think they know?" "That's not the point. The point is control. Once you lose it, you don't get it back." His tone sharpens. "Did you tell anyone?" "No." "Then how did this start?" She stays silent. He steps closer. "If this gets out, the fallout won't be small. You understand that?" "I understand you want to protect your job," she says. His eyes flicker with anger before he masks it. "I'm trying to protect both of us." She feels the truth of it and the lie behind it. His career sits higher on his priority list than her safety. always has. He looks down the hallway to make sure it's clear. Stay focused, no mistakes today. When he leaves, she finally exhales. The building feels different now, like every wall carries a listening device. Before noon hits, the rumors sharpen. Someone claims she has been leaving early for appointments. Someone else mentions seeing her and the department head at a cafe near the river. The stories gain weight, even when wrong. That is how offices work. Facts move slow, gossip moves fast. She eats at her desk, barely tasting anything. Her coworker from earlier passes by and lowers his voice. You might want to watch the team chat threads. People are connecting dots that don't exist. She nods but doesn't open them. At 2:12 p.m., HR sends out a subtle message. Please ensure all documentation is current for internal audit review. The timing is too sharp to be coincidence. It is a probe, not open, not official, but a first step. She keeps her hands steady as she replies with a standard acknowledgement. The department head walks past her desk again. His steps are too fast, a sign he is worried. He heads straight to his office and closes the door. The blinds stay open this time, a sign he wants to appear calm. At 3:40 p.m., the tension spikes. A team meeting starts in the main conference room. The manager tries to discuss workload and deadlines, but the room feels unstable. Two analysts argue about approval delays. Someone mutters about favoritism. Another says the department head bends rules for certain people. The air goes sharp. She watches the room fracture. Every complaint lands close to the truth without touching it. The department head keeps his expression controlled, but his knuckles tighten around his pen. After the meeting dismisses, she heads back to her desk. She tries to focus, but her mind keeps circling the envelope, the test, the hallway, the looks. Her screen pings, new email. She opens it, no subject, from an unknown address. A single attachment sits inside the message. She downloads it. Her stomach sinks when she sees the content. A forwarded chain of security photos and calendar logs, meetings with the department head, off-site, unscheduled, repeated. None of the images show anything improper, but the timing alone raises questions. Combined with rumors, it becomes fuel. She closes the document and locks her screen. The room feels smaller, the walls tighter. She hears someone in the next aisle whisper her name again. She reaches for her notebook. She starts writing down everything she remembers. Dates, times, approvals, words said behind closed doors. She documents because she has to. Survival requires record keeping when power shifts. By late afternoon, HR sends a second message. Please confirm availability for a brief end-of-day review. Her chest tightens. She knows what this is. The quiet beginning of something bigger. The department head approaches her a final time. If they call you in, keep it simple. Don't volunteer anything. Don't mention me unless asked. She looks at him for a long moment. He waits. The power between them pulls tight. I'll speak for myself, she says. He exhales through his nose. That's not the deal. It was your deal, she says, not mine. He stares at her, and for the first time she sees real fear in him. Not much, but enough. She turns back to her desk and finishes the last of her entries. The floor gets quieter as people pack up. The office lights dull to evening mode. Her phone buzzes, a new message from, please meet in conference room B at 7:40 p.m. The room tilts for a second. 7:40 p.m. means they want privacy. Late timing means concern. It means someone pushed the issue. It means the truth is close to the surface. She closes her laptop and waits for the clock to move. The hallway outside her cubicle feels long and empty. The building hums like it is holding its breath. Chapter 3, The Detonation. The hallway outside conference room B sits in near silence. Most of the building has emptied. The vending machines hum. A copier runs a late cycle somewhere down the corridor. The accountant stands with her hands clasped tight. 7:40 p.m. arrives and the door opens. An HR manager gestures her in. The room is cold. A folder rests at the center of the table. Two HR staff sit across from her. Their expressions are controlled, professional. The blinds are shut. The lights are low. She takes the seat at the end of the table. Her pulse moves in a steady climb. Thank you for meeting after hours, the lead manager says. We need to address several concerns raised today. The folder opens. Inside sits printed emails, calendar logs, photos from the security system. Each page is a piece of her last year, stripped of context and laid out like evidence. She keeps her eyes steady. We are looking at conduct patterns between you and the department head, the manager says. Before we proceed, is there anything you want to state for the record? She knows this moment has been building since morning. Keeping silent will only drag it out. She places her hands on the table. Her voice stays even. I'm pregnant. The room goes still. The manager nods once. Thank you for stating that clearly. We need to ask a follow-up question. Is the department head the father? She breathes once, then again, yes. The confirmation lands heavy. The HR staff exchange a quick glance. Papers shift, pens click. The atmosphere sharpens. The manager continues. For the record, has there been any pressure implied or direct from him to hide this? Yes. Her voice does not shake. He asked me to keep quiet. He made it clear it would damage his position. The manager writes. Another staff member types. The keys sound loud in the tight room. Before they continue, the door handle turns. The department head steps inside. His face is tight. His shirt collar is undone. He looks at her first, then at HR. Why am I not being included in this discussion? The manager stands. This is not your meeting. You will wait outside. He shakes his head. Absolutely not. You're questioning my employee and using information out of context. I have a right to clarify before assumptions get made. The manager's tone hardens. Step out, now. He ignores the order and moves toward the table. His eyes lock on the folder. You're dragging my name through mud because someone here wants attention. That's what this is. She watches him. His voice tries to stay calm, but there is strain under every word. He reaches for the folder. The manager blocks him with a hand. Do not interfere with an active review. He turns toward her. You need to fix this, right now. Tell them you exaggerated. She feels something inside her settle, a kind of stillness. She meets his stare and holds it. I told them the truth. His jaw tightens. You're making a mistake. No, she says, I'm not. HR steps between them. A second manager arrives from the hallway. Together they guide him back to the door. His voice rises once, then cuts off as the door closes behind him. The silence that follows lands thick. The lead manager sits down again. Thank you for staying calm. We will continue. They move through more questions, timelines, approvals, meetings. She answers each one clear and direct. She explains the off-site conversations. She explains the pressure to avoid insurance filings. She explains the warnings he gave her in private. As she speaks, the atmosphere in the room shifts. Not sympathy, not judgment. A grounded recognition that a line has been crossed and the consequences are now unavoidable. When the questions end, the manager nods. We are placing him on administrative leave, effective immediately. This will be communicated in the morning. You will receive a written summary of this meeting. Do you need transportation or support tonight? I'll drive myself, she says. Before you go, the manager adds, we want to acknowledge the pressure you have been under. Document everything. Continue forwarding any related communication directly to HR. She nods, I understand. They close the folder. The meeting ends. She leaves the conference room. The hallway is empty, except for low lights and the faint echo of air vents. She walks toward her desk to gather her things. The building feels different, quieter, more honest. Her footsteps carry through the space. She reaches her cubicle and shuts down her laptop. She places the clinic envelope in her bag and zips it shut. On her way out, she passes the department head's office. The door stands open. The lights are off. His nameplate reflects the dim hallway glow. The room looks hollow without him inside. For the first time all day, she feels the grip of fear loosen. She walks to the elevator and presses the button. The doors open slow. Inside, the reflective panel shows her face. Tired, pale, but steady, stronger than she expected. Outside, the night air hits her. The parking lot is quiet. A few scattered cars remain. Streetlights cast long shadows across the pavement. She walks to her car with slow steps. The sky holds no sound. She pauses before unlocking the door. She looks back at the building. Its windows shine with a few late lights. Tomorrow will bring questions, reactions, more fallout. Nothing about this will settle quickly. The cost is real and will stay with her. But the truth is hers now. Not buried, not controlled, not shaped by someone else's fear. She opens the car door and sets her bag on the seat. For a moment she sits in the quiet, breathing steady. The weight in her chest shifts. It still hurts, but it is hers to carry.